The views of this program are not necessarily the views of KJLL Radio, its management, or its sponsors. The host is solely responsible for its content. Enjoy.
Hey, Arizona, Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell, on AM 1330, The Jolt.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, dishing out the latest buzz on the local restaurant and entertainment scene. And now, to help you get ready for the weekend in style, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Oh, fellow foodies, things are heating up here on another beautiful Thursday afternoon right here in Main Gate Square. As you all know, it's the first Thursday Art Walk, and we are here as we are every first Thursday of the month, broadcasting live from Main Gate Square, where the party is just getting underway. And where else would we be broadcasting on probably the last first Thursday before football season is in the air? We have chosen the loving arms of Gentle Ben's Brewing Company right here on 865 East University Boulevard in the heart of Main Gate Square. My good friend Dennis Arnold is going to be with us in the second half of the show to wax poetically about all the sudsy things that are happening here on the menu. He's got a bit of a remodel project going on here, really transforming this place into the destination for fun and frolic right here in Main Gate Square. And he's looking at me like, you know, Matt, I don't think you've ever used the word frolic before. Anyway, you're showing remarkable restraint right now. We'll be hearing from you in about another half an hour. But anyway, there's all kinds of great things going on here. We've got live music by the Technophobes at Old Dubliner Pub and Restaurant. We've got some Ozeri metal designs at Ben's Bells. We've got the artwork of Amy Tidwell at Cafe Luce. We have the artwork of Layla Edwards at the Pasco Kitchen and Lounge. We've got free tea samples at University Perfumes. Of course, what first Thursday wouldn't be complete without the interactive Witch bag decorating contest over at Witch. Again, this is all happening right here, right now, at Main Gate Square for another First Thursday Art Walk. What a great place to come, have a couple of cold beers, meet Dennis Arnold himself right here. He's standing here for photo opportunities. Great place to have some great beers, some great fun, some great dinner. Bring the family. There's also always something happening here at Main Gate Square. But anyway, as we do each and every week, we'd like to bring on a celebrity co-host to add to the conversation about great food and great beer and great wine. Local public relations executive and craft beer extraordinaire Jason Miko is in the house. What's up, brother?
Hey, Matt, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Yeah, we would not, we couldn't do it without you, because when you think about the world of craft beer enthusiasts really around the Southern Arizona community, I mean, there's probably a top 10, and you know your way around a pint of craft beer. How'd you get involved in this whole craft beer wisdom?
Well, Matt, I think I just started picking up some and started drinking them and fell in love with them.
That's all it takes.
I can't remember where the epiphany actually started. It had to be probably back in college days, way back when Gentle Ben's was one of my hangouts when I was here at the U of A, but it, of course, was at a different location, I think, just a little bit north of us right now.
That's right. You know, it's always a homecoming. Every time I walk into the doors of Gentle Ben's, we always remind ourselves of everybody has a Gentle Ben's story. I don't know that I'm actually going to articulate my own on the air, but I will tell you that Gentle Ben's has really become a part of everyone's lives here, not only on campus, but beyond. I mean, I'm fascinated by the numbers of people across Arizona that I run into that always keep a special place in their heart for Gentle Ben's. But as you look at this great beer menu, now I can't even begin to do justice to the range of flavors and profiles that are on this list. When you and I first met, you sort of helped me understand the beauty of the IPA. What is it about the IPA that really gets your creative juices flowing?
Oh, Matt, you're too kind. The IPA is just a fantastic beer. I think it's got that real, a bit of a tartness, a bit of a astringency to it. But if you do it right, and I think we've got some fantastic IPAs here, if you do it right, it just goes down easy. And, of course, the great story behind IPA is how it actually came to be. And that's a whole other story, which I think some of your listeners might have heard in the past.
Oh, well, how long is the story? I mean, I want to hear the story. I mean, it's an hour show, so we'll have you back on to tell us about
the IPA story.
Now, some of our listeners might know, if they know me, and let's, in full disclosure, you work for Russell Public Communications.
I do, boss.
Which I believe is the finest public relations agency in the
Absolutely.
In the Milky Way. But I digress. I come to know your experiences both in Washington, D.C. and here in Tucson, but you also spent quite a bit of time living over in Eastern Europe.
I have, yeah. I spent 7 years living over in Macedonia, in southeastern Europe, or the Balkans, as some people say. And they've got some good beers over there. It tends to be a lot of pilsners and lagers. But where they really excel, I think, is in wine and in the local fire waters.
Oh, you're all right. Now, I'm intrigued now.
Okay, the local firewater.
We have people pulling over now to the side of the road to make sure that they don't miss a beat of this of the next question. What the heck is a firewater?
Well, local firewater would be your really strong liquors, something akin to brandy, whiskey, etc. And over in the Balkans, in Macedonia, and in the region, their number one premium one is called the rakia, and that would be R-A-K-I-J-A, rakia, which is made typically from grapes, and it's it can be 40, 50 proof. But then you also have a thing called mastika. Mastika is very similar to ouzo, which I think a lot of your listeners will be familiar with. But I think, of course, it's superior because it's from Macedonia. But it's very similar to that. And both of those go down great. Mastika, especially in the summer with a little bit of ice in it, and it responds like ouzo does whenever you put the ice in it. It becomes very milky and cloudy and goes down great in the summer with some salads.
Oh, my goodness, that sounds beautiful. Now, we probably should talk to some local distributors to see if we can get some of this stuff over here to the States.
I would
love
to.
What's that going to take, Jason?
I know the number one producer of mastika in Macedonia, and I would love to get his product over here.
Oh, that's great. It sounds wonderful, these distilled spirits over in Macedonia, the lighter side of the beer. But you indicated that they know their way around the grape arbors over there. What's the Macedonian wine world like?
Well, they have been growing grapes and making wine for at least 3,000 years since the time of Alexander the Great, not just in Macedonia but the entire region. And so they've got a bit of experience both in crafting it and drinking it. And frankly, the wine is in their blood, and they'll tell you that. One of my favorites is a wine. It's a red wine. It's called Tagazayug, which means longing for the south, and it's named after a poem written by Macedonia's greatest poet, Konstantin Miladinov. Back in the previous century, I believe, it's over 100 years ago. And it's very similar to a Barbera. That's the best way I can describe it. But it's an intensely dark red grape, which produces a wine of a similar color and very fruit-forward. And that's probably my favorite there. But that's made from the Vranitz grape. And Vranitz is a grape that you'll find all over there, again, similar to Barbera. And I'd love to bring it over here and see how it grows in our Arizona wine region. They have another grape called Timianica, which is a white grape, very similar to Moscato. But the wines that they make from that are not quite as fruity as a Moscato that you'd find over here, say, from France or Italy or something like that. The Republic of Macedonia also has its own special grape, Stanushina, which is only grown in the Republic of Macedonia. It's a red grape, although most of the vintners over there can create a rosé. Very fruit-forward, almost a lot of strawberries and raspberries on it. And it's just a fantastic, delicious grape. But you can only find it in Macedonia.
Gorgeous. So, you know, you spent about 7 years over there in Macedonia. What do you miss most about living and working and relaxing and lounging and eating and drinking in Macedonia?
Well, first of all, it's the people. The people make it. But then it's that lifestyle. They've got a manana lifestyle. And they enjoy their food. They enjoy their drink. They enjoy their time off. It's very much a cafe culture, and that is what I miss most. You know, they don't necessarily, they're not necessarily a rich country or rich people, but they know what to enjoy and how to enjoy it.
Well, you mentioned that someone that you know has wine in their blood. I know a woman who has wine for her blood.
Hello? Hello?
Welcome back, Tom.
Hello.
We'll be right back. Are you with us?
Hello.
Yvonne. I have no Yvonne.
Hello?
Oh, there she is. Yvonne, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Wow. Well, anyway, sorry for being a little bit late to the party. We're having a great time over here at Gentle Ben's. We've been talking about some great wines across Eastern Europe, some great craft beers right down here at the epicenter of Suds in Southern Arizona, Gentle Ben's Brewing Company. But our listeners tune in this time each and every Thursday afternoon to get a sense of what you have up your sleeve over there on Alvernon to Fort Lowell. What is the wine of the week this week?
Oh, Matt, this is a perfect summer wine. This week I've picked, we're doing all-American wines this week, and I've picked a Pinot Gris from Cooper Mountain Vineyards in Willamette Valley, Oregon. It's an organic wine, so you can't get any more American than this. This is a 2009 vintage. It's got wonderful aromas and flavors, very typical of the Willamette Valley. Pear, melon, citrus, there's some blossoms, there's a little bit of floral on it. It's got a nice lingering finish. It's just a very classic Willamette Valley Pinot Gris, which tends to be a lot more flavorful than the Italian Pinot Grigios. And it is a Pinot Grigio, it's just that we call it the Pinot Gris.
You know,
so we've got that one this week for $12.99, and that's on our tasting as well.
I was just about to ask you that question because I think a lot of people kind of confuse Pinot Gris and Pinot Grigio, thinking they're synonymous. Help us understand the differences between those two.
Well, it's very similar to Syrah. You know, over in France, it's called Syrah. In Australia, it's called Shiraz. In the United States, they call it whatever they want. Same with Pinot Gris. Pinot Gris and Pinot Grigio are the same. It's really based on the region where it's grown. So a Pinot Gris is a much bigger wine.
And it sounds like you've picked out the absolutely perfect wine, again, as you do each and every week for this time of the year, because, you know, the heat is on a little bit, and you're thinking about a cool, crisp, light kind of style wine. This is the kind of thing that I'm thinking about when I'm going to spend some time out on my back patio, watch the sun go down, hanging out by the pool, taking a bottle of that Pinot Gris off the ice and just let the world transform right before my eyes.
Oh, yeah, this is it's wonderfully flavorful, and even as it warms up a little bit, which we can't really help it. We live in 100-degree weather temperatures. So, you know, you're sitting there in the glass. You got some wine in your glass. It's going to heat up no matter how you slice it. And this one, it just kind of, it holds. It holds its flavor. So it doesn't lose it as it gets a little bit warm and you're waiting to pull your next glass out of the refrigerator and refill that glass. So it's absolutely a wonderful wine.
Absolutely beautiful. So what's the price point of this bad boy?
$12.99.
I know.
And it's Willamette Valley.
I've got a grin from ear to ear on the face of my celebrity co-host, Jason Miko, who is wondering if, in fact, he did hear you correctly. Because when you think about these world-class premium wines, the Pinot Gris from the Willamette, you're thinking of, north of $20, north of $25 a bottle. In fact, I think you said $12.99?
I did say $12.99.
So even Dennis Arnold is wondering what in the world it is. The planets have aligned for Dennis and his family. Anyway, all of our listeners know the wisdom of Yvonne and what she does. For those first-time listeners that might not have any idea what in the world is up her sleeve, Yvonne stocks more than 350 premium wines from all over the world, and she does us a public service right here in Southern Arizona. She provides that to us at an affordable price. There's not one bottle in the entire store that's over $15 a bottle.
That's exactly right. And, you talk about the planets being aligned. Not only is this an organic wine, it's a biodynamic wine. And the planets must be aligned for them to run their vineyard.
Well, we want all of our listeners to go down and see you at Catavitas Wine Shop and Tasting Room down on Alvernon, just south of Fort Lowell, on the west side of the street. We've got about another 30 seconds remaining. Yvonne, give us a sense of some of the other wines that you have showcased in your theme this week.
Oh, we got a beautiful Chardonnay out of California. We have a red blend of Petit Syrah, Syrah, and Viognier that's out of Napa. We have another Columbia Valley Cabernet. We have a red blend out of Lodi. And then we've got the beautiful Marietta Sellers Old Vine Red out of Guyersville, California, so a little bit north. It's all American wines this week, so everything's domestic. It's all produced right here in the good old USA.
I absolutely love it. I could not have picked a better theme to enjoy this particular week. Tonight, Friday and Saturday night from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., go over and say hello to Yvonne Fouché. Meet her in person. Yvonne, I can't wait to see you.
Thank you, Matt. You enjoy.
Thanks so much. We're going to take a quick 60-second commercial break to learn a little bit more about Catavitas, and when we come back, We're going to be transporting you to the Flying V Bar and Grill at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort. Don't go away.
Discover a warm, intimate, and inviting hideaway in Midtown Tucson where you can meet people and explore new wines. At Catavinos Wine Shop and Tasting Room, located on Alvernon Way, just south of Fort Lowell, we offer more than 350 premium wines from all over the world, all priced under $15 a bottle. Each week, our wine tastings will give you the opportunity to sample a flight of wines alongside some delicious artisan cheeses. And our tasting room is the ideal venue for your next private party or special event. We also stock the latest wine accessories for making the most out of your wine experience. Finding a great bottle of wine for $30 is easy, but discovering a wonderful wine for less than $15 is an art. Let us do the work for you. Catavinos Wine Shop and Tasting Room on Alvernon, just south of Fort Lowell. Come see us today or give us a call at 323-3063. That's 323-3063.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from Gentleman's Brewing Company at 865 East University Boulevard, right here in the heart of Main Gate Square. My celebrity co-host, international wine and beer maven and PR consultant here, Jason Miko.
Matt, great to be with you.
We're
Thank you.
We're having a good time. We're working our way down this flight of craft beers. I haven't figured out which one I like the best, but I'm leaning towards that IPA because you spoke about it so poetically.
Indeed, we are, and the IPAs, let's tell the story about, for your listeners, on how it came to be. We'll save that a little bit.
We'll save that a little bit later, because we've got to take all of our listeners to a wonderful place. It's always been one of our favorites in the Russell House. The Flying V is not yet called in, so anyway, why don't we wait for our call in from Roxall, the general manager, and tease us a little bit about this story that I so rudely interrupted you on.
That's all right, as I understand.
You've got to start it as when the British liberated India.
There we go. I like that. Thank you, Dennis. When the British liberated India, of course they had these very long voyages all the way around the tip of South Africa on their voyages to India. The beer wouldn't actually last because it was months long voyages, and so they had to create a beer that would last. And what resulted was what became known as the India Pale Ale. And they just added a lot of hops to it, and that was the only way to preserve the beer. So it would go the entire way.
There was two things. It was high hops and high alcohol. You have to remember the time that nobody really understood how beer worked because Louis Pasteur had not figured out that yet.
I don't think he was born yet.
And the British started taxing, you know, big beers and small beers, so everybody went to the small side. And there was one guy who figured out high hops, because the hops are antimicrobial, antibacterial, and he had that route for years. The other brewers figured it out and started shipping their beer, but the guy was smart enough to warehouse it in India, and when the other ships would show up with their product, he'd drop his price like 90%. And the crew would ride on the ships and take all the beer.
Now that
he was a pretty wild guy.
That is a great story. You
can't
don't
remember his name?
No. Okay, I was going to ask you that. So
yeah, it was like smart guy.
Yeah.
So with this whole experience that you get here at Gentle Ben's, I mean, it's not about coming here and having a great burger and a great beer. I mean, you can sit here and learn so much about the craft beer industry. And Dennis Arnold is the man in the know.
Well, you know, you're around a while. it tends to happen, you know. You're thinking and you're drinking.
Thinking and drinking. That could be the title of your autobiography.
It could
be. Are you ready to write that, Dennis Arnold?
No, I don't think so. Not just yet. I need to, you know, maybe hit puberty and do a couple other things on my bucket list first.
All right. Well, so, you know, we've got so much to talk to you about. We're going to talk to you for a few more minutes. We're going to take our CNN commercial break, thank some sponsors, and we're going to sort of fill out the show with you. I want to remind all of our listeners that Dennis Arnold, in his charity and his wisdom, is going to be giving away a Gentleman's gift card for the first person that calls in with the right answer to the trivia question. But you got to be patient. That happens a little bit later on the show, so get your dialing fingers ready, because I think he's going to pull out a good question. We'll see how quickly those lights back up in the studio are going to be lighting up. Anyway, we're talking to Dennis Arnold, the proprietor of Gentleman's Brewing Company at 865 East University Boulevard. We're enjoying happy hour right here at Gentleman's. I'm seeing all kinds of friends and family and colleagues and from all over our listening base have come out here to have a few beers. We're again been making our way through this great flight of beers, the Ben's IPA, the Copperhead, the Stout is something I've always been a fan of, the Stout. Let's talk a little bit about the Stout, because you've done some different things with Stout over the years. Where are you guys now in the world of Stout?
Well, at Christmas, usually we bring out, we take our oatmeal Stout, and we make a Mocha Java Stout by using a ton of espresso coffee. And we've been trying different beans every year, and we add in a lot of fat-free Dutch cocoa and follow it with lactose. So we call it the Mocha Java Stout. It's the breakfast beer of champions. And I tell you, it's just wonderful. But what we're playing around with right now is I was fortunate enough to get eight barrels out of the Jack Daniel's Brewery within hours after they were emptied, and they were shipped to me fast freight, and we loaded it with our NCAA ale. And so it's been sitting in 2 tons of a beer on Jack Daniel's barrels, and we're going to be rolling it out around Labor Day, and it'll be our bourbon barrel stout. And I tell you, it's just, if there's any left, because every day I go in and I taste every barrel, you know, it is just going to be probably the most significant, unique beer that I've ever brewed in my 22 years of brewing.
And I think we can say that this is the first time you've talked publicly about the bourbon barrel stout, at least on the air,
yeah.
At least on AM. I mean, tell me when we can say this is breaking news.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bourbon guy, I'm a sour mash guy, I'm a whiskey guy, so when my mouth is just watering over the possibilities that you've explored. Now, when you say that these barrels were shipped to you fast freight, I'm getting the sense that we're still talking about wet wood, are we not?
It really was, because, you know, I took a flashlight and I looked down and I'm looking at a puddle in the bottom, which would be 100% Jack Daniel's, still oozing out, and the freshness is important because we racked in the beer immediately, and out of 450 gallons that we put in, maybe about 2 or 3 pints, you know, seeped out from between, you know, because usually, you know, the barrels will start to dry out immediately. I'd experimented with this a couple of years ago, and I remember it was like drip, 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 drip. Oh, no, you're running around my little cup and kind of being, you know, a little odd. But they were, like, so fresh and so amazing. But the interesting thing is we go barrel to barrel and taste and make notes, and they all have their own little individual character. We'll marry them all together into one tank to balance the carbonation out. But I tell you, I have never been more excited about a beer in my life.
So, you know, our listeners are beer enthusiasts, so I hope you know what you're in for. So there's going to be they're going to be lining up. Now, is that going to be over here at Gentle Ben's as well as over at Barrio?
It'll be at Barrio, and it'll be at a couple of select accounts around town, like Jonathan's Cork is definitely going to get one.
Very
because
nice.
He just, you know, he's such a great supporter of the brewery. And there will be several others, because there's only so much, and it's got such a long gestation period, you know, 100 days to come in. And you can only use barrels once to get that bang, and then the second time we'll put the Scottish ale in it and let it go to crispness, and the oakiness will then come out of the barrel, and then the barrels are done.
Can I live here? Can I set up, a little cot can go right in the corner there.
We can do that. Actually, let's go down to the brewery, because it's a lot cooler in the cold box than it is today here.
Again, we're talking to Dennis Arnold of Gentle Ben's Brewing Company here at 865 East University Boulevard. Having a party here for the first Thursday Art Walk in Main Gate Square. We're going to take a quick CNN commercial break. Thank a couple of sponsors, and when we come back, it only gets bigger and it only gets better right here at Gentle Ben's. Don't go away.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. A turbulent and terrible day on Wall Street. The Dow plunged 512 points, one of the top 10 worst point drops ever. And veteran Wall Street trader Ted Weisberg says the July jobs report might not help matters.
Tomorrow, we're going to get an employment number, which we hope, of course, that will be better than expected. But, you know, in the environment we're in, it's possible that it'll be worse than expected. And if it comes in, and it's an if, and if it comes in worse than expected, clearly that could reinforce the negative bias.
Right now, Japan's Nikkei index is down almost 4%. Congress has made a deal to fund the FAA through mid-September. That means thousands of transportation and construction workers can get back to work. Polygamist sect leader Warren Jeffs has been found guilty of sexually assaulting 2 underage girls.
the most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
When local businessman Ron Yaeli traveled across Mexico more than 15 years ago, he was captivated by the taquerias that lined the streets of villages and towns. That's where the locals would go for the freshest food around, thoughtfully prepared and cooked right before their eyes. It was then when Ron decided to bring this concept to Tucson with the bold and fresh flavors of the Mexican taqueria. That was then, and La Salsa Fresh Mexican Grill is now. Stop into any one of Ron's six La Salsa locations and taste for yourself what Fresh Mex is all about. Steak, chicken, shrimp, and fish tacos, fajita quesadillas, grilled burritos, enchiladas, crisp salads, all prepared to order with the freshest ingredients. And then there's the salsa bar with eight handcrafted salsas made fresh every day. Try all eight or combinations of each to discover your very own salsa personality. La Salsa Fresh Mexican Grill on Grant and Swan, Speedway and Wilmot, Speedway and Country Club, Ina and Oracle, Campbell and Fort Lowell, and University in Euclid. There's one near you. I'm Matt Russell, and I love my La Salsa salsa.
Where's everyone meeting for the hottest dining, shopping, and nightlife in town? Main Gate Square, of course. Just west of the University of Arizona Main Gate on University Boulevard. A casual walk around the two-block square will take you to more than 50 of Tucson's most exciting restaurants, cafes, retailers, boutiques, and salons. Experience the best of international cuisine, including French, Thai, Greek, Indian, Irish, and a host of other restaurants representing virtually every corner of the globe. And when the sun goes down, Main Gate Square is the place to be for live music, dancing, wine and beer tastings, art exhibits, and other special events. And did I mention the shopping? Come see what all the buzz is about on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid. Visit www.maingatesquare.com to find out what awaits you today. By day or by night, there's always something here for everyone at Main Gate Square.
Over 2,000 fine wines to complement your meal. Experience the very best. You deserve it. This is Bob McMahon. Join me at my place, McMahon's Prime Steakhouse, Swan and Fort Lowell.
Spend an evening with us at 47 Scott and Scott & Co., located downtown Tucson's emerging culinary capital. 47 Scott, serving modern comfort food for both lunch and dinner in a neighborhood bistro setting. A rotating selection of affordable wines and handcrafted cocktails complement our freshly prepared seasonal menu. Sit under the stars on our cozy brick patio or inside in a comfortable urban setting where we focus on excellent service and hospitality. Enjoy a drink before or after your meal at Scott & Co., our small cocktail lounge located directly next door to 47 Scott. With a nod to the cocktail scene of years past, Scott & Co. features seasonal drink creations unlike any other place in Tucson. 47 Scott, located downtown at 47 North Scott Avenue, across the street from the Pennington Parking Garage. Open for lunch Monday through Friday and dinner Monday through Saturday. Online at 47scott.com. For reservations, call 624-4747. That's 624-4747.
Hey Tucson, check out downtown Tucson's newest hotspot, Hub. Lively, fun, and delicious Hub offers genuine made-here fare in an updated historic setting. Real rotisserie meats and classic deli sandwiches, flaky pot pies, burgers and dogs, Hub has something for everyone. Hub's homemade ice cream is a new citywide favorite with eclectic flavors to sit and enjoy or grab and go. Hub's happy hour is every day from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And if nightlife is what you crave, Hub is open till 2 a.m. every day, offering cocktails, beer, and wines on draft and a late night menu in the Hub Lounge. Located in the heart of downtown on Congress Street, Hub has its own parking lot for free and easy parking at any time of the day. Call 207-8201 or stop by Hub at 266 East Congress Street 7 days a week. Visit hubdowntown.com. Daytime family fun, nighttime urban vibe. Hub has it all. Hubdowntown.com. Has this ever happened to you? Let's say you're out for happy hour on a Friday night, and after a few cocktails, you and your friends decide to stay for dinner, which includes a couple glasses of wine. And when it's time to go home, you ask yourself, am I really able to drive, or shall I just call a taxi? Well, Arizona's DUI laws are very strict, so driving yourself is just plain stupid. On the other hand, calling a taxi means that you have to find a way back to your car the next day. And we all know how inconvenient that is. The next time you're in this situation, leave the driving to the Entourage Transportation Group. A phone call to Entourage quickly dispatches an electric scooter to your location, and a fully licensed and insured driver neatly folds the scooter up, places it in your trunk, and drives you home. In your own car. When you arrive home, the driver simply unpacks the scooter and drives off to the next call. Both you and your car are home safe. Take this number down and keep it handy whenever you go out for drinks and dinner. You'll be glad you did. 909-0100. That's 909-0100. Or check them out online at entouragetucson.com.
Hello, Tucson. This is Melissa D'Arabian from $10 Dinners on the Food Network, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my friend Matt Russell on AM 1330, The Jolt.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Gentle Ben's Brewing Company at 865 East University Boulevard, right in the heart of Main Gate Square for another exciting First Thursday Art Walk. Listen, I want to remind all of our friends, if you are not a part of our big and growing Facebook community, you need to be. Facebook.com/OnTheMenuLive. Also follow us on Twitter, which is at On the Menu Live. And of course, if you missed any of our broadcasts, if you want to see pictures of our guests, if you want to find out where we're going to be broadcasting from week to week, give us a shout out here on our website, www.onthemenulive.com. And, you know, things are really shaking and moving and grooving over here at Gentle Ben's, and we want to answer. We're going to get all the questions answered as soon as Dennis sees what in the world is happening. You know, this is live radio. This is what I love about live radio. Well, why don't we, while we're doing it, why don't we thank a couple of friends that are here. You know, all the way over here from Foothills Favorites is our residential and commercial real estate agent of choice. Stacy and Mike Sump from Foothills Favorites are in the house. Give them a shout-out at www.foothillsfavorites.com for all of your residential and commercial real estate needs. And that's an authentic statement because they sold my house for me, and they also found an office for me, and they're unstoppable, this group. Anyway, say hi to Mike and Stacy Sump. In fact, you can come over here and have a beer with Stacy Sump right now. Looks like she's drinking an IPA or a Tucson Blonde, going with the classics. Anyway, Dennis, we had a little bit of an issue over here because things are moving, things are rattling, things are rolling. I think we're right in the middle of a really cool remodel project. What do you got up your sleeve?
We have been under construction now. I've been going about 35 days straight. We took out 100 feet of bar upstairs and downstairs, just tore it right down to the ground, got rid of the wood and the oak. It was kind of weird. The soda pop followed the electrical conduits and ate this. Dissolve them. Stay away from soda pop, drink beer. It's all about the pH. So we went and built our bars out of really heavy structural steel and the most gorgeous granite. We put in about 200 feet of granite. And we're just getting done in about a couple, 3 days. The students are going to be rolling back in, getting their apartments and, coming in for jobs and things like that. So we're just trying to. This is going to be October 14th through the 16th will be our 40th anniversary party for Gentle Ben.
40 years!
40 years!
Oh, man.
I was but a kid. I actually grew up on this street, and I remember it even before it was Gentle Ben. So it's kind of wild, and I remember, like, what was I doing on my 40th birthday? And I remember, I do remember, I was Disney World with a 2, a 7, and an 8-year-old. So this is going to be a funner party than that was.
I would imagine so, yeah.
It was over a decade ago. So we are going to have we're going to have a party for 40 hours. We're going to start at 10 a.m. on a Friday and end at 2 a.m. on a Sunday. And we're going to have every hour be a year. First hour will be 1971. The last hour will be obviously this year.
Oh, this sounds
and
fun.
We have all kinds of things planned. It's going to be wild stuff. We're there's been 8 presidents during that time, and we're going to go it by periods. We're going to start with tie-dye and go to disco and go to grunge from that time between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., which turns out to be like 1986 or something. We're going to have a pajama party with pizza and everything for all the
great
kids in the dorm. So we're just going to have a very, very cool 40-hour party.
I don't know that I've ever heard a more creative idea. Now, around the 85, 86, 87 time frame, I was a regular fixture in Gentle Ben's, and I was a bartender at the Bum Steer, and of course, we had to get out of the Bum Steer from time to time and see what the rest of the libation community was like. But yeah, that's back to my day, man.
I tell you, it's going to be pretty cool. I think like that puts us into like the movies will be like The Breakfast Club and some things like that. And I figured, because this is going to be a a 21 and over event for most, but I figured that'd be a great pocket to empty out the dorms and just have a pajama party and kick out, you know, 300 or 400 pizzas and kind of kick it loose. And we're just, our minds are just reeling on how many possibilities there are and what we can do in 40 hours to cover 40 years. So we're going to have, like, if you were born in 1973, this is what you get on this hour. And if you graduated on this year, we're going to do this or that. And it's just going to be, I think, just a lot of great energy.
So inquiring minds want to know. So you got to stop serving beer at 2 o'clock in the morning. Right.
Yep.
When do you get to start serving it again? I mean, what is that?
6 a.m. 5 o'clock Central.
6 a.m., Jason Miko. You ever had a beer at 6 o'clock in the morning?
That's a very good question. No, probably more like 8.
Okay,
so,
8.
Yeah. Well. And that's starting afresh. That's not from the night before. So.
Jason, you've never been fishing?
Been sailing.
Same thing.
That's about it. Oh, my gosh. That sounds like a blast. We might have to bring our roving reporter down here to get some man-on-the-street interviews for this great 40-hour extravaganza. Now,
yeah.
I was born a little bit before 1971, just a few years, so we can't commemorate any sort of a milestone for a birthday. But this sounds really like a lot of fun.
I think it's going to be a blast. And we're under this whole summer, we've been remodeling the upstairs and the downstairs. We are doing things that are going to so, I think, excite people and blow them away. Our menus are changing. We've redone the kitchen. We're right about 3 weeks away from introducing, I think, what will be the best hamburger in the world.
That's a bold statement, Dennis Arnold.
I know. You know what, though? And I'm usually like, I don't, but I tell you, we put 100 days into it because I started by Googling all the top chefs in the world and said, plus hamburger, and then saw what they had to say. So, you know, there's, you know, and then we've been sitting there in our test kitchens and we've been using, like, we started, I think, with 9 different cuts of meat and brought it down to 3. It's like brisket, chuck, and tri-tip is what we're grinding.
Oh,
and we're marinating it before, which I don't know if anybody does. And we're putting it through different grinders, you know, on 2 different passes, and we're coming out with this, and we're even fundamentally changing. We've always been a grill restaurant with a great 700-degree grill, but after reading what all of the best burger minds in the world have to say, we're swapping out the equipment and putting in iron griddles.
You're doing the griddle thing for the burger.
That's it.
Yeah, I actually made that transformation at home. My wife, for Father's Day, bought me a beautiful commercial griddle for our outdoor kitchen. And I'll tell you, you know, you're not going to do everything on the griddle by far.
No, burgers is it.
Burgers, I'm a convert, Dennis. I mean,
these burgers were too tender to put on a grill because they just sink, because we're talking about how much fat content and what kind of fat, how much of this and how much of that. And it was a real experience because then we get into the buns and we get into this and we have advice about, like, grinding the bacon into the hamburger for a bacon burger. It was kind of like that scene out of Night Shift. Feed the mayonnaise to the tuna fish. I'm like, epiphany.
A Michael Keaton
epiphany
fan right here. Yeah. So you're doing all your own grinding right here in
there? Yeah, yeah. And actually we do it, we put in a cold box just for that, so all the equipment gets rolled in there. And you know, we're like getting really, really touchy about it, because then once we're all done grinding, we wash everything, then we take all of the grinding equipment and we put it in a 500-degree oven and heat kill it and then take it out and put in special boxes. I mean,
you're not cutting any corners here, gentlemen.
There's excitement going on in the kitchen because this has been a project. Like Gerard, bless his heart, the guy who took the lead on this, is like, we're in the red zone. We're not in the end zone yet because we haven't quite dialed in the bun. We've gone through about 9, you know, 3 different bakers and 9 different buns, and we're like, we're almost there. I was at a restaurant in Washington, D.C. Last month called Ebbets Grill.
And the old Ebbets Grill.
And they said it happens to be the busiest restaurant in America.
Right near the White House.
Amazing, yeah, block from the White House. Yeah. I started talking to them and said, we made our business on hamburgers. So that's when I started going, okay, now I'm going to sit here and drink until you tell me everything. It was the size of the hamburger. This is the ultimate size, and it's like you can't find it, you know. So you got to have, you know, it's like just a hair under 7 ounces, and getting into it, and it was just like, it was so inspirational. And as I sit there throwing down hamburgers for 3 or 4 days, and, you know, and, okay, give me another beer, please.
When are you introducing this?
September 1st.
September 1st.
Excellent.
We're really close, but we're still playing with the bun, and then I'm actually making up very cool molds, because one of the secrets to a hamburger is that after you grind it, you really want to touch the meat as little as possible.
Very true.
You know, because if you start, like, patting it back and forth, you got meatloaf.
Yeah. Right.
And so we're, like, really getting into things that I don't think people have before, but I'm working with a couple of guys, and we've all got this same, you know, a beer in one hand, and this, you know, pointing fingers at each other with the other. No, this will be better. No, this will be better. And so it's like, I think we've gone through 250 different variations between the blends and the grinds, and we're doing some a little bit of spicing in there, no salt, but some other stuff that is very unique, and marinating the all of the meat 24 hours before the grind. I think we were pretty unique.
That's
there.
Unique. I don't know that I've ever heard of a marination process when you're actually doing a beef patty. I mean, this sounds very intriguing. Now, have you thought about what you're going to call this thing? I mean, it's all about the name. So you can't embarrass this lovely work of art with something called the burger. I mean, have you thought
about
the name?
Yes, I have. But you know what? I don't want to say anything right now because this is going to be such a bold statement that I've got to make sure, because we're going to run through about 500 people on it, and one, make sure that we can do the production, because when we get busy here, we get busy. The new equipment's arriving next week, 120,000 BTU 48s, and it's like this. Got to make sure I can deliver. So we're going to be running it through. We're going to be like calling up, okay, the seventh floor of Sonoran Dorm, why don't you guys come over for a hamburger? We need to make 100 of them and make sure that we can make 100 of them and, you know, like.
And you hear that giant sucking sound
exactly.
Right out of the door.
So I've got to make sure I can deliver, because on game day when we get 1,000 people through here,
right.
I've got to make sure that my equipment's not going to go, no, I can't do it. Because we're, you know, toasting our buns and we're now playing with different, you know, things on that, you know, and just trying to dial it in so. And it got so technical because I found the ultimate bun, but it will not transport in a bag because the nice crust on the top will fail in a bag when you pack warm buns. And then if you put it in a perf bag, it does this. I mean, way more technical than the space shuttle.
Yeah.
So I think the timing is, this is not a coincidence. It retires, I start making the ultimate hamburger, and it's going to be it is going to be that good. I bit into this, and my ears got wet. I was like going, I think we're close.
We are very close. Now, you know, there's going to be a step that for final clearance. You think you got it right, and you think you got all the sort of T's crossed and I's dotted. It has to pass the Matt Russell and Jason Miko test before
Absolutely.
The public is invited in. So I will provide free of charge our service to you.
That works for me. I tell you, because I have never in my life eaten a medium rare hamburger, because I'm like, you know, you order a hamburger and if it comes from a vendor, it could have like cow lips and kidneys and you know, you don't know what the hell's coming in that. I now know what cuts of meat are in this, and I'll eat it medium rare to medium each and every time, because I was like, I can't even believe this.
Gorgeous.
I mean, it was just like, just so, and we tasted up against a Kobe burger, and the Kobe burger like was jerky.
Interesting.
For tenderness. It was just crazy stuff.
So, you know, big and bold, this new burger that's going to be on the menu here in just about 3 weeks, September 1st at Gentle Ben's. Now, one of the things I've always loved about your menu is its eclectic nature. So it you sort of defy the typical bar menu. I mean, you can come here and get some great Mexican food even, and some wonderful salads. What kind of things are you going to be doing to your menu?
Well, I tell you, I don't want to mess with the Mexican side.
Good.
We have the best carne asada. That I just met with some guys from Casa Grande, a Mexican food restaurant, and showed them to it. And he gave me some ideas about using some New Zealand beef. We do 25% Mexican. We do, 30% hamburgers. We do 25% handhelds, all our sandwiches, and 20% salads. And it's like, it's a really big menu, but it's so balanced.
Exactly,
you know, we can't, like, get rid of the, there's no weakness there. So we just hope just to grow our whole thing. I mean, this season coming up, the football season will be a challenge, I guess would be a nice way to put it. So, you know, we're looking at putting our efforts into looking at every day being a great opportunity to bring more people down to Westmount Gate.
Great. Well, if we have anything to do with it, we will make sure we join the chorus with people to say, come on down to Gentle Ben's, have a wonderful meal, catch up with some old friends, meet some new ones over a great pint of beer. And, you know, this is the time when all of our listeners are thinking about how in the world can we get a Gentle Ben's experience, and you and your wisdom have said we're going to provide a gift certificate to one of your listeners to come in here and enjoy Gentle Ben's for themselves. If they know the answer, to this trivia question.
The original Gentle Ben's opened in 1971. That was the last trivia question that
yep,
we had some months ago. And so, you know that it had an upstairs, then it had the ground floor and the downstairs. What was the downstairs called?
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, we got some inside question here. What was the downstairs called at the original Gentle Ben's? If you didn't know the answer to the question, give us a call right now at 529-3508. Again, 529-3508 for a chance to win a great meal and a great beer at Gentle Ben's. Good luck. We'll be right back.
When local businessman Ron Yaeli traveled across Mexico more than 15 years ago, he was captivated by the taquerias that lined the streets of villages and towns. That's where the locals would go for the freshest food around, thoughtfully prepared and cooked right before their eyes. It was then when Ron decided to bring this concept to Tucson, with the bold and fresh flavors of the Mexican taqueria. That was then, and La Salsa Fresh Mexican Grill is now. Stop into any one of Ron's six La Salsa locations and taste for yourself what Fresh Mex is all about. Steak, chicken, shrimp, and fish tacos, fajita quesadillas, grilled burritos, enchiladas, crisp salads, all prepared to order with the freshest ingredients. And then there's the salsa bar with eight handcrafted salsas made fresh every day. Try all eight or combinations of each to discover your very own salsa personality. La Salsa Fresh Mexican Grill on Grant and Swan, Speedway and Wilmot, Speedway and Country Club, Ina and Oracle, Campbell and Fort Lowell, and University in Euclid. There's one near you. I'm Matt Russell, and I love my La Salsa salsa. Well, here we are on a very busy Saturday night. It's about 10 o'clock at night, and we're here at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails at 135 South 6th Avenue, just a block south of Broadway, and we ran into my good friend, Chef Janos Wilder, who's agreed to spend a couple minutes with us. What's going on, Chef?
Matt, thanks for coming into Downtown After Dark. We do this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, live music, half-price bar menu. It's the place to be.
Really is the place to be, and it's so busy around here. Everyone's having such a great time.
It's going on here during the afternoon, too. We do a traditional happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m. every day, half-price bar menu, drink specials, and then lunch, dinner, stay for late night. It's happening all the time here.
All with that unique Janos twist, whether it's the great food or the wonderful things happening behind the bar. We just can't get enough of downtown.
Thanks, Matt. So give us a call, 623-7700, or go to the website, downtownkitchen.com.
That sounds great. I think I'll go get a drink. Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Gentle Ben's Brewing Company at 865 East University Boulevard, right here in the heart of Main Gate Square. Having a great first Thursday art walk here, and we've got Dennis Arnold here, the proprietor of this great place, Gentle Ben's, the man who makes the best beer in Southern Arizona, yay, in the Grand Canyon State. As far as I'm concerned, we're dancing around a great flight of beer right here. Again, the trivia question on the table, tough one this week, but listen closely. What is the name of the downstairs in the original Gentle Ben's location? Now, all of you Gentle Ben's heads from years past, remember that special downstairs area had a name, and we want to know what it is. And Sydney, back at the studio, is going to come on the air and let us know if she has any callers who might be brave enough and feel confident enough to win a gift certificate here at Gentle Ben's. Anyway, so we're waiting for the phones to ring. It might be a stumper this time, Dan.
Matt, we have a call, actually.
All right, hold on. Is Sydney, do we have a caller?
Yeah, we have Eric.
Okay, we have Eric on the phone. Eric, welcome to On the Menu Live.
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
Okay, having a hard time hearing you. Speak up, my friend.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
Doing really well. What's your answer?
It's called the Grog and Tankard.
Say again, louder.
The Grog and Tankard.
The Grog and Tankard, he says.
Nope.
Oh, no. But anyway, thank you so much. That frees up a line at 529-3508. Again, 529-3508. What is the name of the original, the downstairs area in the original Gentle Ben's? Again, 529-3508. And I believe we had a hint here that Dennis Arnold...
What was the name of the cellar?
What was the name of the cellar? What was the name of the cellar?
That's with a C.
Anyway, again, that's 529-3508. What was the name of the original downstairs location in Gentle Ben's when they first opened back 40 years ago? Sydney, do we have any other callers?
No, it's a bit of a stumper right now, Matt.
We do have a stumper. Wow.
Okay, next question. What city is Gentle Ben's in?
Okay.
The phones are lighting up.
What Tucson, city Tucson, is Gentle Tucson. Ben's in? Wow. Tucson. Dennis is feeling awfully kind. What city is Gentle Ben's in? The number to call, 529-3508. Again, 529-3508.
I got to give up the answer for that one. Is the Bear Down Cellar.
The Bear Down Cellar.
And actually,
cellar.
The original plaque from 40 years ago is mounted out in front of Gentle Ben's now on a 14-foot-tall, 1-ton bear. And the plaque is for Button Salmon. And if you don't know the story of Button Salmon, go back to ASU.
Yo, I was just about to say that. Exactly. Anyway, Cindy, do we have callers?
Yes, hold on, Matt.
Okay, who do we have?
We have Tony right now.
Okay, Tony, welcome to On the Menu Live. What city, Tony? Is Gentle Ben's in?
Well, it has to be Tucson.
I think so. Could you spell Tucson?
T-U-C-S-O-N.
Is it C or the S first?
Wow.
Exclamation.
Well, Tony, you know
I
what?
Think you have it.
We're having so much fun here, we can barely hear you, but all
hello,
we can
hello.
Hear is Tucson, and indeed you are right. Congratulations. Now, look, don't go anywhere. Don't hang up, because Sydney back at the studio is going to get all your information. I see all of these people with cell phones here in their hands, hanging their heads in shame that they weren't dialing fast enough, because they know that answer. We're going to get all your information and send that.
If you have your 12-year-old dial, it's a lot faster.
Gentle Ben's gift card. Anyway, Tony, thanks so much for listening, and congratulations. The Bear Down Cellar.
Yeah, the Bear Down Cellar, and it was there for from 71 until that building was torn down, when that building was torn down in 1995, and it was a wild cellar. All of the stone in the cellar was from Centennial Peak, so it was the lava rock,
The
tables hung from these just huge chains, and it was this dark, danky little thing that just the Grateful Dead music played all day and all night long, there was things burning down there that it was
things
it was
burning, yeah.
Pretty wild stuff, and now that is under the lobby of the Marriott, right?
That's what I thought. We were talking about that earlier today, where the Marriott University Park Hotel is.
A couple hundred feet away.
Yeah, now I'm going to ask you a question that you might think is completely impossible to answer. But, you know, you brew, I think, some of the best beer around, and I think you have a little bit of Dennis in every beer that you pour here at Gentle Ben's and Barrio Brewing Company.
I try to wear a hairnet.
You wear the hairnet. What's your favorite beer?
You know, I've got to say my go-to is the IPA because, I mean, that is how all brewers are judged. You just can't throw a bunch of hops at it or a bunch of malt at it. You just can't.
Yeah.
And we were part of a program about 14 years ago with an experimental hop called Columbus. And we developed it out of there, and now it's everybody using Columbus, or it's also called the CTZ, Columbus or Tomahawk or Zeus.
No,
you know,
it.
And
yeah.
it's great stuff. But I actually go with, I mean, when it hits the winter, I've got to go with Nolan Porter.
Yep.
Fantastic for that time. The bourbon barrel coming out on Labor Day. Every time I go back there and I get my little, pull out my little 3-ounce sample, I just sit there and giggle. It is just going to be so wow that I can't even tell you. It's just like, you know, you get opportunities like this every so often, and it's like this one was just off the chart.
Want all of our listeners to come and see Dennis Arnold here at Gentle Ben's in Main Gate Square. Go see him also at Barrio Brewing Company. Had a great show with you. Thanks so much for hosting this party.
You know what? I always appreciate your time, Matt.
Always so much fun. Jason, thank you so much for lending your wisdom to our show.
You bet. Thanks, Matt.
If you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to rerun this Saturday at 12 noon right here on AM 1330. In the meantime, this is Matt Russell reminding you, if it's Thursday at 5,
it's
On the Menu Live. Have a great weekend.
KJLL, South Tucson.